The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day influence your future. Become informed. Act with purpose. Build your tomorrow. This podcast is dedicated to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I believe we can change that. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 33. Take inventory of your finances. It is the start of June, and with the start of June means that we are coming up on the halfway point, believe it or not, for 2019. And so what I like to see happen during the month of June is for us to take a look at the first 5 months of the year so far and think back to some of the goals and aspirations and things that we wanted to accomplish this year. And think, how well have we actually attacked this so far? Are we at where we want to be? Are we ahead? Are we behind? And what can we do between now and the end of the year in order to make our finances better? Now, that can feel like a very big question. And it is, because your finances are not, they're not simple. You've got a number of moving parts going on because your life has a number of moving parts going on. And so I think it's important to take a bit of time to kind of just look at things piece by piece, evaluate what's going on. Is what's going on what you expected? If it's not, why? And then kind of, you know, start to develop some action items from that, of what to do to break, you know, to improve your personal finances. What action steps, behaviors do you need to take so that as you get ready for the back half of 2019, you can run that race for the 6 months after this one and come out at the end of 2019 looking at the body of work you've done for the course of the year and gone, I've done a really good thing. And I will say this, lots of people make New Year's resolutions, only 8% keep them, which means if you're saying to yourself, well, I've already messed this up or messed that up, you want to know what? You're in the ultra majority. There are very few majorities as well-populated as the group of people who break and don't completely follow through on a New Year's resolution. Here's the good news, you can try again. It does not cost you anything to get back on the horse. Say, you know what? Yeah, this didn't go quite according to plan. But you know what? I can get back. I can try again. I can try that again. Maybe you approach it a bit differently. It's one of those things where you look at something and go, you know, if I keep approaching this the same way and expecting a different result, it's kind of the definition of insanity. So to that end, I would say maybe perhaps we need to look at some different tactics. But you can do this. So without further ado, let's talk about some things that I like to inventory financially when looking at our household and looking at what's going on. The first one being looking at and evaluating living costs and household spending. I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't care if you're rich, you're poor, you're middle class, you're making 500 grand a year, have no debt, and 10 million in retirement, or whether you're pushing real hard just to get by and save a few bucks each month. Everyone needs to take a look at their spending, because this is where things mysteriously get added and things happen where, you know, suddenly costs just kind of creep up and exist. And that's just part of behavior. It's a part of our desire to, whether it's live more comfortably or we just get excited about something new that we want to introduce into our lifestyle. Well, there's a cost attached to it. And so the first thing I stress to everyone, and I even when I work with wealthier families who say, you know, we really don't need hand-holding on the budgeting, I go, I know, I get that. But it is amazing when you go through that exercise. And the number of times, even people I've had families that have given me that feedback, have gone through, and then afterwards I hear about, oh, we had discussions about that. I'm surprised we actually spend as much as we do on going out, or as much as we do on whatever thing it is we think we're wasting our money on a bit. And again, their initial feedback or feelings were, we don't need that feedback. I kind of force it just a little bit. I don't be too mean, but under the idea that I want to know where these dollars are going, in order to help people plan, that exercise, more often than not, 80-90% plus, ends up being constructive, because you just find things that you just don't need anymore. You're paying for and don't need. That's money saved right off the bat. That's ammunition you can use to do something else. And something else doesn't necessarily mean it has to go into an investment. Something else can mean that you're making improvements to your house. That can mean that if you have a desire to travel, that you're able to fund that a bit more. Or are able to, for that matter, put more money into emergency savings. Put more money into long-term wealth generation. However you're going about that. But the other kicker to this is, if you try to imagine your finances like building a house, living costs and household spending is literally your basement and foundation. If there are cracks, if there are issues, and you try to build on top of this, you won't see any problems right away necessarily. You might. Might happen rapidly. But with most people, especially if the fracture in the foundation isn't too big, it takes a while. But all it takes is a something or a couple somethings to go wrong. And when that happens, that crack starts to build into a bigger and bigger fissure. So if your household spending is such that you're saving just a little bit and spending most of what you're making, okay, up until the point where, let's say, a job is lost or interrupted for a period of time. Maybe there's a layoff. Well, they'll pay unemployment, but will they pay enough for you to cover that period of time? Do you have enough saved up for a few months in case it takes a while to find new work? Well, Stephen, the unemployment rate right now is sub 4%. And it still means people are getting fired. There's still a couple hundred thousand new applications for unemployment every week. So, in terms of, people are finding work, people are also losing work and going back and forth. Even in a good economy, layoffs happen. Organizations change structure. Strategies change. And unfortunately, when those things happen, they may or may not be any control of yours. I want you to be well prepared for it. Having living costs and spending, and it's not to say don't ever spend on things you enjoy or that type of thing. That'd be false. I mean, I literally right before this podcast, I went, we just moved into our new house and we have a fireplace. And I love building fires. So I went out to a local place that chops up wood and picked up $25 worth of firewood, which is actually quite the pile. I enjoy things. It's fine. But it's looking at that and going, and we're saving, and we're, making sure we take care of our future selves adequately as well. And balance is what you're fighting for. So that living costs and household spending, let's dig a little bit further into that. So taking a look at your food costs. I always start here because this is the one that has usually the greatest amount of fluff. How much are you going out? You're going out 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 5 days a week. How about dinner, weekends, going out for brunch? It's not that any of these things are inherently bad, Starbucks. It's not that any of these things are inherently bad. It's when you consume and consume and consume to a point where that you just simply cannot afford to sustain, or you lack, or as a result of your consumption, you lack the ability to do and take care of the things you need to take care of for your future self. When you stop prioritizing your future self, it even goes beyond just the financial concern I have for you. I have a personal concern for you. when people don't look after their future selves. You don't value that. I value that. I want you to be happy and live well and do well, don't you? You gotta make it a priority financially. And that means changing the behavior potentially to reflect that. And it's not easy sometimes. Taking a look at things like your cable bill, taking a look at things like your insurance, if it's been half a year, take a look around at what other insurers are offering for insurance rates. Maybe you can find something cheaper or better. That'd be cool. But this is a good time of year as any to start negotiating on that stuff. A lot of places start having summer specials, 4th of July, you start getting into some of those deals on a variety of things. Cell phone bills, like I mentioned your cable bill earlier. Take a look at usage for energy. This is a tough one because summer gets hot. And certain parts of the country really hot. Are there ways that you can conserve energy? Ceiling fans use substantially less energy than a full air conditioning system in a house. So maybe one of those things where if even some of your days you can switch to ceiling fans instead of taking advantage of an AC system, using windows and ceiling fans, that can be a big help. It can reduce those costs and maybe some of those border days where maybe it's warm enough where you want the AC unit on, but it's not so warm that the fans won't work. You get some 95 degree day, fanning it out probably gets you down to 87 and that's about it. But for your cooler days or hotter for that matter, but maybe those 80 degree days, you're willing to fudge it a little bit and turn on some fans and open some windows instead. It saves money. Again, you go, well, how much money? Not a lot, truthfully. But you do enough of these little things, and they do add up to actual dollars. It does take you having kind of a mindset of, and do we really need to spend on that? Maybe not. The other thing to start looking at, apart from the stuff that you're doing at home with your living costs, is review the costs that you have when it comes to what you're getting. Maybe you're taking a look at your health insurance at work, taking a look at your 401k contribution. Are you contributing at least what they're willing to match? If not, do you think you could? Would that be a good idea? With your healthcare plan, are you taking advantage of the services that you're paying for? Are you in the right pricing plan and healthcare package? I've had at least a couple of times this past month where we've evaluated that and found that, hey, actually, I would save more money either upgrading or downgrading my service. Well, you can't do anything about that right this second, but you need to keep note of it for when, November comes around or October comes around and you start electing what those coverages look like for next year. To think about that and to start thinking about that now. So instead of trying to evaluate under the gun when you have a couple of weeks to maybe make an election, you can already have your decision made. You've done your homework and here's your answer. Start thinking about this stuff a bit. Becoming more aware, taking some time to do that. Apart from that though, okay, so you've got those sort of base sort of things going on. Next thing I'm going to tell you to look at, how's your emergency savings doing? If you're starting to work on debt elimination, do you at least have maybe $1,500, $2,000 sitting there so that you can cover a basic emergency? The tires go out on the car or, a significant repair. You need something for the home to, plumbing repair or electrical or something like that goes out and you need some help with that. If you're not working on debt elimination, if you've got your long-term debt taken care of, then the next piece is, well, how big of a, how much of a nest egg have you built at this point? Do you have, 3 months worth of savings, 6 months? Now, the interesting thing about the number of months worth of savings is that it's a really arbitrary measurement, and it doesn't have in itself a whole lot of definition, so let me add a little clarity to this. I like to take a look at emergency savings and think about it in terms of what do I have on the line in terms of risk. If I'm sitting here, I'm single, I live in an apartment, I have a car, and I've paid for it, or I don't have a car at all, your liabilities aren't very high. You don't have any debt or any property that is on the line if you were to lose your job and could not pay for that stuff. The other thing is that your lifestyle would, you know, certainly change if you went from being employed to partially employed or to unemployed and you had to look for new work. You're not going to be going out to eat as much. People tighten their spending in those situations. They do self-preserve to a degree. So to that end, knowing that, do you need to have 6 months worth of savings? If that makes you feel good, awesome. If you look at your budget and everything and say, I really want that 6 months, awesome. If you told me, yeah, I want more like 3 or 4, I'd be okay with that number too. I'd be okay with that as well. When you start adding long-term liabilities, like a car payment, or a house, or if you have kids. Kids are a wonderful asset, but they certainly are a long-term liability financially. You start wanting to have a much bigger cushion because you have a lot more on the line. The house is certainly a thing because, I mean, bottom line is that, you know, that is not only where you live, but the equity that you've built up in where you've, you know, gone is on the line there as well. But I get, you know, and so maybe you're closer, you're in that 6 month range if you're there. But if you have kids, you may think a little bit bigger than 6 months. Maybe it ends up being closer to a year. And that may, you know, I know there are financial planners that may listen to this and go, that's a crazy number. That's a lot of cash. I agree that it is not a small amount of cash. But the thing is, kids are wildly unpredictable when it comes to what their needs can be sometimes. And I'm not just talking about how they voraciously eat. I'm not just talking about their activities. Although I will say this, if a parent or both parents become unemployed, they can tell when their parent, you know, your kids can tell when you as a parent are stressed or frustrated or, you know, are compromised. It affects them. And I've seen, you know, and I've seen this especially, so prior to being a financial planner, going back over a decade, I worked in daycare for about 7 years. And I worked, I would say 70% or more of the families that we served are single parent families. When parents, single parent or otherwise, lose income streams and they don't have savings, their behavior patterns change rapidly. Their mood changes rapidly. It's upsetting. That's no surprise. Briggs, tell me something I don't know. Well, what you may not think about is how does that affect your child? And how does it affect them if you have to make a decision like they've been in marching band or they've been in sports or they've been, you know, in drama or something, and then suddenly you have to pull them out? You don't have the resources to keep them in those programs, which, by the way, if you ever are in that type of a situation, ask the coach for help. Ask the booster organization for help. There are usually resources. Ask the school for help. There are usually resources to help families that are struggling. But the bottom line is, you know, it's really rough on a kid already when they see their parents acting very frustrated and distressed. And whether you intend to or not, that emotion will come across. But when they get pulled out of an activity, their life and their social patterns are now changing because of something they just can't control and maybe can't really understand entirely yet. And I don't, as a parent, you know, I know that's not what any parent wants for their kids. I think it's worth it to be more defensive. Not to mention the other things that can happen. Kids can break arms. Kids can have, you know, can get sick and need special treatment that costs money that may or may not be completely covered. If you're out of work, may or may not be covered by your health insurance anymore. That can be very expensive. So it's finding a number that's going to allow you to feel like you're well protected. You can go to bed at night. And if things kind of collapse in that way, that everyone's still okay. I'm not saying you're going to feel chipper and fantastic that you lost your job. but you're also not wondering, how are we going to pay the mortgage next week? Which is where most Americans are. Which is where most people are. I don't want you to ever be there. I want you to have, and the thing is, financial freedom or financial security isn't just about being, it isn't just about being wealthy. That's certainly nice. It's about being prepared. Is there money, is there wealth in the places that need to be so that if something happens, I can access this and solve whatever life problem has occurred? So I can go on living as happily as possible, and my family can live as happily and securely as possible. That's what I'm looking at here, the perspective I'm taking on this. Because that living living not in fear, it's having lived in fear, having been in a bad financial position myself at one point. I can tell you that I would never go back. And you go, well, that's easy, Briggs. Like, come on now. No, but you. You can't fully appreciate what it's like to not feel under pressure with your bills until you have the resources to not be under pressure anymore with your bills. And then you never, ever, ever want to be in that. I mean, you just do everything you possibly can to avoid that position. So to that end, I think cash savings are important. They're also really important from the standpoint of when you've built a good defensive position like that, it allows your investments to be more aggressive. It allows you the ability to have a level of risk that is more closely aligned with your age, what your financial goals might be, taking advantage of the time horizon you have. You have a defensiveness already set up, so then you say, okay, I can do the thing that I think is more optimal from a long-term strategy, because you're not playing with what's called scared money. You're not worried that the money that you have in your investments also needs to be your emergency fund. And by the way, should never be the case. The fear definition of an emergency fund is that that money is secure. If it's investment money, it's not secure. When you sit there and see all those disclaimers about, there's potential loss of principal, don't invest what you can't afford to lose, etc. We mean it. I mean, most disclaimers rattle that stuff off so fast that it's a blur and no one really comprehends it. But so let's slow it down a little bit. It means about being defensive enough so that when you want to go on the offense when it comes to your wealth building instruments, that you can do so. You have permission by virtue of the resources you have just readily available to then attack that upper end of the kind of pyramid of wealth building. Emergency savings, debt elimination. I know a number of people are working on paying off debt, and I would sit there and say, are you happy with how much you've paid off so far this year? If you're satisfied and on track, congratulations. You're doing an amazing thing. And you're going to love, if you continue that path where you're going to be at the end of the year, it's less interest, it's less money you are paying to the Amexes and Visas of the world for the pleasure of borrowing their money. Yeah, it feels ugly, don't it? But if you're looking at going, I really wish I was saving more or putting more against this debt, then do it. And the suggestion I have for doing this is, can you schedule weekly payments into it? Where you say, I want to, contribute. My goal was to actually put $400 a month towards a credit card. Great, then put $100 a week. You don't have to take it out as a big chunk, but at the same time, I want it out of sight, out of mind from you on a weekly basis. So set up recurring withdrawals to pay against those balances. Start chipping away at that thing. get it out of your cash flow. Maybe you end up, at least for a period of time here, summer's coming up. Summer's a great time to mow lawns. Summer's a great time to do handyman work or deliver pizzas or whatever you got to do. And you go, well, Stephen, I already work a job. Yes, so did I. I had a job too. You know what? I owed $42,000 worth of debt. I sat there and looked at that and said, you know what? If I don't do anything else, this is going to take me 6 years to pay off. Now I could have waited 6 years and paid that off. And I looked at it and said, I don't want to wait 6 years. I don't want to be poor forever. So I took another job. I eventually started a business to earn more money on top of taking another job. Three jobs. Yeah. 2.5 years later, debt's paid off. 42 grand. Straight up. No help from family. No help from anybody. Hard work. A lot of it. And it's not forever. I don't work three jobs now. I work one job. This job. Financial planning. It's pretty awesome. So it's not forever. Doesn't have to be. But there's a lot of opportunity out there for you to earn extra money. For you to be able to get out of this sooner. Or supercharge. Let's say you're looking to save a little more for retirement. Jumpstart that. One, good on you for seeing that that's... You're leveraging time to help you. And then second, okay... Find a great opportunity, look for a lucrative opportunity where you can put some hours in, earn some additional dollars, and then make sure those dollars get where you want them to be. Whether that's paying off the debtors of the world, or whether that's taking that money and maybe that's starting your Roth IRA. Or maybe that gives you the ability with your living expenses to put more into your 401k at work. Great. Whatever that instrument is for you, it's worth putting a little extra elbow grease into. Then finally, after you've taken a look at all of that, now let's look at where is money going beyond all those things into looking at your if you have a home, your home, and if you've got, you know, what are you looking at in terms of how are your 401k contributions doing or your, whether it's a government retirement plan or your traditional Roth IRAs, individual investment accounts, whatever those might be, how are those doing? If you own a business, investing into your business a bit, are there things that you've been needing to do there that you look at and go, you know what, maybe now's the right time to pull that trigger. And with those types of things, again, I if you don't do it now, they'll still be there 3 months from now to do, or 6 months from now to do. But at the same time, you also need to look at that and go, at some point, you do need to pull the trigger and actually make those decisions and make those improvements. Whatever those might be in your situation. Has it been a while since an advisor has talked to you about your assets or your strategy or how things are going? Maybe you're calling that person up. Maybe the feedback in this is not waiting for the advisor to work for you. You actually asking your advisor that you're paying, whether it's your 401k. Yes, usually there's a management fee attached to that, which means they need to get off their duff and work for you. You call them up. You schedule an appointment. If you don't like that idea, you're uncomfortable, bottom line is that you then hunt down an advisor for you. I know a guy. You hunt down an advisor and say, hey, I'd like you to take a look at this. They may or may not charge you for that. That's okay. Is this where it needs to be? Do we need to make some changes? Are there ways we need to improve this? Possibly. But this is you taking inventory of your finances, you taking complete stock of what's going on here, saying, okay, maybe it's been a while since the investments have been touched, maybe it's time to rebalance. Maybe certain assets have done better than others, and it's time to rebalance a portfolio toward the model again and keep on with the strategy that you set forth. Or maybe it's time for a little bit of change to the strategy. There have been some significant changes geopolitically. Are there adjustments to be made, or does this plan... long-term reach your goals? Are you on track to reach your long-term goals? So you've thought about all this. Are you, where are you, kind of poised at this point? Are you in a position where you're going to be ready when you want to be ready to attack this? These are great questions to sit down with an advisor and talk about. Or sit down with yourself or whomever as well. Like, absolutely. But yeah, the bottom line in all this is that as we, are here and it's beginning of June, there's still half a year left to play before the end of 2019. And I'm excited for it. I don't know about you, but my 2019 so far has been so fantastic. And I'm so gracious and grateful for it. Because, I mean, obviously you put work in and you hope things go well. And, my clients are terrific. The practice is growing rapidly. I love doing this podcast and sharing ideas and thoughts with you on a week-to-week basis. And I hope that this inspires you. I hope the idea from this is you take a look around and I don't know, some weeks it might be more of a butt kicker than others. Some weeks it may not, the topic may not completely apply to you or that type of thing. That's okay. But I hope every week by listening to this that you're sitting here and going, you get thinking about it more because you're valuable. Who you are and what you do and what you have to offer the world is valuable. And I want you to be able to take advantage of the work that you're doing to make your money work better for you. A, so you don't have to work as hard, and B, so you get to live your dream. So you get to live what you want to see happen in this world and not what happens to you. And I think there's a key difference there in that when you have resources and things happen to you, you just deal with them. You're not stuck with them. You work through it. You push through. You expend the resources you worked hard to build up. And then you get to keep living life and moving ahead. And yeah, that doesn't mean that, people who have wealth definitely have crises. They definitely have tragedies and really bad things that happen to them too. Sometimes that gets forgotten or lost a little bit, seeing some of the rhetoric online. But what I would say to that then is just simply, I want you to have the resources to continue to live your life the best you possibly can. And it just, this is the time of year where you start taking stock of what's going on and saying, all right, is this really doing what I want it to do? Am I ahead? Am I behind? And depending on that evaluation, what do I need to do? Or is there anything I need to change to put myself in a better spot by the end of the year? And 6 months is a pretty good runway to kind of do that. So you take this month, you'll work on this. We'll probably likely talk more about these topics in the weeks ahead in a bit more depth. And I want you to be well prepared for this next year, or for the rest of this year, rather, and for next year, too, but be well prepared for the rest of 2019. So take this month to kind of scour through things. It means putting an hour or two of time into this. You're worth it, and your future's worth it. So get it done. On that note, thanks so much for listening. A special note and a huge thank you to iHeartRadio for now carrying the Briggs Financial Podcast. I applied to have the podcast on there from the get-go, and it only took us half a year. But 32 episodes in, I got the email and said, yes, we're going to include you in our platform. So I'm super grateful to them. Again, Briggs Financial Podcast can be found on iHeartRadio, along with iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, and the Briggs Financial website at BriggsWealth.com. If you have any questions at all, feel free to email me, or if you want to schedule a free consultation, Steven, Steven, at BriggsWealth.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a tremendous week. We'll have fresh new episodes here upcoming, and I'm just looking forward to sharing more time with you as we push through the end. We're coming up here real quick. I mean, episode 33, we're under 20 episodes away from completing a full year of this podcast. And boy, I've got a lot to talk about and more to attack with you here. So thanks for listening. Share this with family and friends. Please, over this week, if you wouldn't mind giving this a little love to some family and friends, I appreciate it. Have a tremendous week. Be well, be safe, and I'll catch you again soon. Take care. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. Check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. As Performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.